episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is my curious little podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings, which I hope will help you to relax and fall asleep. This is episode number 151, and specifically, it's a fade-out episode, which will start with a guided tuck-in, followed by the rhythmic and relaxing poem, A Flying Visit by Thomas Hood. If you're a new listener, then welcome to my little world of whispers. Each week I rotate through one of five types of episodes to calm those overactive squirrels in your brain. These include Whisperpedia episodes, storytime episodes, chat episodes, batch episodes, and tonight you'll hear a fade-out episode. All fade-out episodes begin with a guided relaxation tuck-in, followed by a rhythmic and hypnotic reading to quickly fade out your brain. My prior fade-out episodes have included guided meditations, guided imageries, guided relaxations, lists of soothing words, poems, surveys, catalogs, and even recipes. If you'd like to listen to all my prior fade-out episodes, or share some feedback, or just learn more about me and this podcast, then click the links in the show notes of this episode, or you can visit my website at sleepwhispers.com. All right, tonight's fade out is the poem A Flying Visit by Thomas Hood. And I think the last time I read a poem in a fade-out episode was episode 113. So I figured it was time for another poem. And I didn't know much about Thomas Hood. I'm not even sure if I'd heard his name before. So I had to look up a little summary of who is Thomas Hood. And he was an editor, publisher, poet, and humorist. He was born in London. At some point, he worked in a counting house, which I guess is old-timey words for he was a bookkeeper or an accountant or something. He published several books and collections and contributed to several magazines in London. And he also published his own magazine. And he wasn't very creative with the title of his own magazine because he called it Hood's Own. Yeah, I think he was more creative with his other writing. Overall, he was best known for his light verse and puns, which will probably be well reflected in tonight's poem. There are several reasons why I chose A Flying Visit as one of his poems for tonight. And the first is the length. It's 264 lines, which means it's should be a good length for this episode, because I want to be able to read the entire poem. But if it was too short, then I'd either have to read several different poems, or if it was too long, then I'd have to break it up between episodes. So this should be a good length. The next significant reason is there was a lot of poems I read through that I rejected because they didn't have the right flow, pace, and rhyme that is methodical enough to be soothing and hypnotic for you. The other big factor of choosing this specific poem is it's comprehensible. There's no old-timey Shakespearean thee, thine, blabbity blab, because that can get confusing for me. It's total projection. I get easily confused by Shakespearean old-timey words. And I don't want you to strain too hard to try to figure out the words and the meaning. I don't have much of a summary for you as to what the poem is fully about. I kind of started reading through it, and I figured out it's about a balloon. I'm not sure if it's a small balloon or a big human transport type of balloon. And I think this is kind of good that I'm not telling you exactly what the poem is about, because I want you to focus your squirrels on trying to figure out the storyline. Think of it as a mystery that you're trying to solve. Or you can at least distract your squirrels by just focusing on the sound and rhythm of the words. I'll begin with my usual ear-to-ear tuck-in, and then follow it immediately with tonight's fade-out, which will also be ear-to-ear. If you prefer to switch to mono audio, then I added instructions in the show notes for you. It's now time for your tuck-in. If your lights are on, then go ahead and turn them off. If you have a mobile device, turn off the screen and set it aside while you continue to listen. Adjust your pillows just the way you like them. Adjust your covers and sheets just the way you like them. Go ahead and find a comfortable position. You can lie on your side. You can lie on your back. Or you can lie on your front. Whichever is the most comfortable position for you. Next, relax the muscles in your legs. Relax the muscles in your arms. Relax the muscles in your shoulders. Allow your entire body to melt into your bed. Now focus your mind on one good thought from today. It may be something good that happened to you. It may be something good someone did for you. Or it may be something good you did for someone else. This will be the happy thought you will focus on if you find your mind wandering during the fade out. Finally, allow your entire body to fully relax. Focus your mind on that one happy thought. And for the next few seconds, settle your breathing rate to a pace that feels relaxing and comfortable for you. And then I'll begin the fade out. A Flying Visit by Thomas Hood. The bygone September, as folks may remember, at least if the memory saves but an ember. One fine afternoon, there went up a balloon, which did not return to the earth very soon. For nearing the sky, at about a mile high, the astronaut bold had resolved on a fly. So cutting his string in a parasol thing, down he came in a field, like a lark from the wing. Meanwhile, thus adrift, the balloon made a shift to rise very fast with no burden to lift. It got very small, then to nothing at all, and then rose the question of where would it fall. Some thought that for the lack of the man in his back, could rise to the cherub that watches poor Jack. Some held, but in vain, with the first heavy rain, 'twould surely come down to the gardens again. But still not a word, for a month could be heard, of what had become of the wonderful bird. The firm guy and Hughes wore their boots out in shoes in running about and inquiring for news. Some thought it must be tumbled into the sea. Some thought it had gone off by Germany. But Germans, as shown by their writings, 'tis known, are always delighted with what is high flown. Some hinted of milk, and that maidens who milk in far distant shires would be walking in silk. Some swore that it must, as they said at the fust, have gone again flashes of lightning and bust. However, at last, when 6 weeks had gone past, intelligence came of a plausible cast. A wandering clown at a hamlet near town had seen like a moon of green cheese coming down. Soon spread the alarm, and from cottage and farm, the natives buzzed out like bees when they swarm. And off ran the folk. It is such a good joke to see the descent of a bag full of smoke. And lo, the machine, dappled yellow and green, was plainly enough in the clouds to be seen. Yes, yes, was the cry, it's the old one, sure I. Where can it have been such a time in the sky? Lord, where will it fall? It can't find out Valhall without any pilot to guide it at all. Some wagered that Kent would behold the event. The bread had been posed to predict its descent. Some thought it would pitch in the old tower ditch. Some swore on the cross of St. Paul's it would hitch. And farmers cried, zounds, if it drops on our grounds, we'll try if balloons can't be put into pounds. But still to and fro, it continued to go, as if looking out for soft places below. No difficult job, it had only to bob, slap dash down at once on the heads of the mob. Oh, too apt to stare at some castle in the air, forget that the earth is their proper affair. Till watching the fall of some soap bubble ball, they tumble themselves with a terrible sprawl. Meanwhile, from its height, stooping downward in flight, the phenomenon came more distinctly in sight. Still bigger and bigger, and growing with rigor, unfreed if there was not a live human figure. Yes, plain to be seen, underneath the machine, there dangled a mortal, some swore it was green. Some mason could spy, others named Mr. Guy, or Holland compelled by the Belgians to fly. 'Twas Graham the flighty, assigned to take care of his own lignum vitae. 'Twas Hampton whose whim was in cloudland to swim, till even little Hampton looked little to him. But all were at fault from the heavenly vault. The falling balloon came at last to halt, and bounce with the jar of descending so far, an outlandish creature was thrown from the car. At first, with the jolt, all his wits made a bolt, as if he'd been flung by a mettlesome colt. And while in his faint, to avoid all complaint, the muse shall endeavor his portrait to paint. The face of this elf, round as platter of Delph, was pale as if only a cast of itself. His head had a rare fleece of silvery hair, just like the albino at Bartlemy Fair. His eyes, they were odd, like the eyes of a cod, and gave him the look of a watery god. His nose was a snub, under which for his grub was a round open mouth, like to that of a chub. His person was small, without figure at all, a plump little body, as round as a ball, with two little fins and a couple of pins, with what has been christened a bow in the shins. His dress, it was new, a full suit of sky blue, with bright silver buckles in each little shoe. Thus painted complete, from his head to his feet, conceive him lay flat in Squire Hopkins' wheat. Fine text for the crowd, who disputed aloud what sort of creature had dropped from the cloud. He's come from overseas. He's a Cochin Chinese. By jingo, he's one of the wild Cherokees. Don't nobody know, he's a young Eskimo, turned white like the hares by the arctical snow. Some angel, my dear, sent from some upper sphere for Plumtree or Agnew, too good for this here. Meanwhile, with a sigh, having opened one eye, the stranger rose up on his seat by and by, and finding his tongue, thus he said, or he sung, "Me cricky bo bigamy kickery bung." Lord, what does he speak? It's dog Latin, it's Greek, it's some sort of slang for to puzzle a beak. "It's not like the Scotch," said a Scot on the watch. "Foe, it's nothing at all, but a kind of hodgepodge. It's not parley-voo, cried a schoolboy or two. Nor Hebrew at all, said a wandering Jew. Some held it was sprung from the Irvingite tongue, that same that is used by a child very young. Some guessed it High Dutch, others thought it had much in sound of the true hokey-pokey-ish Dutch. But none could be Boz, what the dickens, not Boz. No mortal could tell what the dickens it was. When who should come pat in a moment like that, but bowing to see what the people were at? A doctor well able, without any fable, to talk and translate all the babble of Babel. So just drawing near, with a vigilant ear that took every syllable in very clear, before one could sip up a tumbler of flip, he knew the whole tongue from the root to the tip. Then stretching his hand, as you see Daniel stand in the feast of Belshazzar, that picture so grand, without more delay, in the Hamilton way, he Englished whatever the elf had to say. Crack, crazzaboo, ban, I'm the lunatic man, confined in the moon since creation began. Sid Muggy Big Bog, whom, except in a fog, you see with a lanthorn, a bush, and a dog. Lang Synery Lear, for this many a year, I've longed to drop in at your own little sphere. Och, bad man, a rune, till one fine afternoon, I found that wind coach on the horns of the moon. Gush, quackery, go, but besides you must know, I've heard of a profiting prophet below. Big botherum blather, who pretended to gather the tricks that the moon meant to play with the weather. So Christmas some crash, being shortish of cash, I thought I'd a right to partake of the hash. Silk missile and smack, so I've come with a pack to sell to the trade of my own almanac. Fizz Bobbery Bershel, besides Ames Commercial, much wishing to honor my friend Sir John Herschel. Come pudding and dame, it's inscribed to his name, which is now at the full in celestial fame. Wept, wept on, wish, wept, pray this copy accept, but here on the stranger some kidnapper slept. For why a shrewd man tries to slide plan, the wonder to grab for a show caravan. So plotted, so done, with a fight as in fun, while mock pugilistical rounds were begun. A knave who could box and get right and left knocks got hold of the prize by his silvery locks. And hard he had fared, but the people were scared by what the interpreter roundly declared. You ignorant Turks, you will be your own Berks. He holds all the keys of the lunary works. You'd best let him go. If you keep him below, the moon will not change, and the tides will not flow. He left her at full, and with such a long pull, sounds every man Jack will run mad like a bull. So awful a threat took effect on the set. The fright, though, was more than their guest could forget. So taking a jump in the car, he came plump and threw all the ballast right out in a lump. Up soared the machine with its yellow and green, but still the pale face of the creature was seen, who cried from the car, "Damn inhuman beggar!" That is, what a sad set of villains you are. Howbeit, at some height, he threw down quite a flight of almanacs, wishing to set us all right. And thanks to the boon, we shall see very soon if Murphy knows most, or the man in the moon. This is the end of tonight's fade out. I hope you are deeply relaxed, or even better, deeply asleep.